I'm just going to ask you to come down here and let's pray. Just get out of your seat and come on down here, and we're going to pray. We're going to rededicate ourselves to the Lord, and we're going to ask God to restore the fire, and then we're going to make a commitment. We're going to make a commitment to God. We're going to make a commitment to Him. Amen. We're going to do the first works. Praise God. Let's pray. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. Lord, you spoke to me today. I'm so glad you did. This is a manifestation of your goodness, and it is the proof that you still love me and that you're working in my life. I want you to work your zeal in me. I want my zeal restored. I want my fire back. I know I'm not living all that bad, but Lord, you know all things, and I'm giving my heart to you again. I return to you, my first love. I love you with all my heart. I need you, and I want you to work in my life. Remove from my life everything that's not agreeable to you. Take it out. Destroy it. Annihilate it. And let my heart be true. Let my heart be pure. May my affection for you be strong and fervent and on fire. I thank you right now, Lord. I will do the first works. Minister to me what you want me to do.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
do. Yeah, Tex. Found in Luke chapter 17, and we're going to look at verses 11 through verses 19 with the focus on verse 14 as our launching scripture. And Luke chapter 17 verse 14 says, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." And that's the scripture we want to use to start off our lesson this afternoon. One of the wonderful things about this word that I believe is so helpful to the believer is to understand the principles connected with this word. Though historically it's talking about a situation that happened in Jesus's time, but the principles pragmatically are for us today. If we will learn how to operate in the principles of God, then what he's done for others, He'll do the same for us. And that's one of the reasons why I like to study principles, because principles literally give us the key that unlocks all of the blessings and the favor and the benefits of God, because we understand His word. The good thing about a key is you can get in it when you want to, as opposed to waiting till someone opened the door for you. And so if you have the key by way of principles, knowing that God honors His word, and when you operate in His word, you will have what His word says. And that's, again, so much that we want to relook at this again. Verse 11 says, and it came to pass that as He went to Jerusalem, He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Now, it's talking about places in verse 11. Verse 12 talks about the predicament, because it talks about 10 men who were there, who were lepers, who stood afar off. Verse 13 deals with the petition. They cried out to Jesus, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That was their petition to the Lord Jesus. Verse 14 deals with the power of the spoken word, and we'll come back to that in just a moment. But verse 15 and 16 deals with praise and thanksgiving, because it talks about when the man was healed, he turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. And 16 says that he came and fell down at his feet and gave him thanks. Verse 17 and 18 deals with a probing inquiry. Did not I cleanse 10? Where are the 9? And then he tells them, there are not any that return to give God glory. And then in verse 19, he deals with the pronouncement. Now, as we walk back through the word, one of the things that's interesting about that, and one of the reasons I wanted to caption those verses, was to focus your attention on what was going on without having to go through all of the verses individually, so that you'll have an understanding again of the whole concept of this story. Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem. He passes through Samaria and Galilee. On His way, He meets 10 lepers. Now, one of the things that, again, is clear about this word is they stood afar off because the Mosaic law forbade them to come within 300 to 500 feet of people. They had to shout, leprosy, leprosy. But these men didn't shout leprosy. They called for mercy. They said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They made their petition known to the Lord. Now, I want to say this. No matter what your situation or your condition is, you're going to have to learn to ask the Lord for what you want. You know, some might be so super religious and spiritual, where the Lord knows everything. Yes, He does know. But Matthew 6 said He still wants you to ask. Ask. That releases a procedure by which God follows according to His own word. When you ask and ask in faith, God honors that, and He does that. But again, when you ask God, it suggests that, one, you're asking in faith, two, you're going to receive in faith. So they start petitioning Him, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. Verse 14 says something very interesting. It says, and when He saw them, when He saw them. Now, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, if Jesus sees your situation, half of your troubles are already over. And how many of you know He sees everything? So He already has knowledge of what you're going through. He already has knowledge of what you're dealing with. He already has knowledge of what you're suffering with. He already has knowledge of the whole circumstance. So the Bible makes clear now that when He makes a conscious effort to look their way, which is to acknowledge what their petition is, then the Bible says, after He saw, look at what he said. He said, what? Go show yourselves to the priests. Plural. P-R-I-E-S-T-S. Priests. Go show yourselves to the priests. Now, what's interesting about this is, you're going to discover in him saying this, they cried out to him for mercy. They knew enough about the law, and they knew enough about faith to know that if Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, then that meant that they were healed, even though the healing manifestation did not appear immediately. Here's what they did. They didn't say, really? Jesus, you kidding me? Because they were still filled with leprosy when he said, go show yourselves to the priest. But what they did was they turned around and began to walk in faith. Didn't question him. They just did what he said. So here's what I want you to see. He saw them and he said. But that's only one part of the puzzle. The other part is this. They heard and they heeded. They heard him. How do you know they heard him? Because the record is they started on their way. And they started on their way in faith, believing that they were healed, even though it didn't look like, didn't feel like, didn't seem like they were healed. They were going to the priest to say, Jesus said, I'm healed. So that meant then that the priest would then pardon them and give to them a pass to return back to civilization, to their homes, their jobs, their old lives. So they were excited about that. And so they were on their way. What I think you need to also understand is the Bible says not only did they hear and they heed what he said, but verse 15 says one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now, the interesting story about this is this man who did this, the word calls him a stranger. Now, by stranger, the very definition meant that he was not a Jew. And because he wasn't a Jew, he was not entitled to the privileges of healing as was due the Jews. But sometimes when you're in the right place at the right time and you activate your faith, listen, there is an atmosphere that Jesus was operating in. And so because he was there, he got caught up in the atmosphere. He was a part of saying when he heard them say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He was a part of that crowd. He was expecting to get a healing as well, even though he wasn't a Jew. And so what I want to tell you is faith takes limitations off of you. Faith positions you so that you can get what's made for, listen, the believer. Not just the Jews, but for the believer. He wasn't a Jew, but he was a believer. And the reason why a whole lot of folk, as church folk, miss their blessings is because they are church folk, but they're not believers. And so they open the Word of God, and they read the Word of God, and they hear the Word of God, and they participate in the Word of God, but they don't believe the Word of God. They don't operate on the Word of God. These lepers heard the Word, and they heeded the Word. They obeyed the Word. They began to walk in faith. In obedience. As a result of walking in obedience, listen at this, they became cleansed. Now, Jesus makes clear later in the text, in verse 17, did not I cleanse 10? 10. He cleansed all 10 of them. But the record only refers to one being healed. Well, that's so you don't get this twisted. Let me explain this. The ones who were cleansed were cured of leprosy. And you're like, okay, that's what I understand.
Were they all cleansed of leprosy? Yes, they were. But they were all not healed. Well, let me help you understand another thing. When you have leprosy, your skin becomes white and scaly. There are, depending on the length of leprosy, body parts, fingers, sometimes arms that fall off. There are big gashing wounds in the flesh. You lose mobility of your walking straight and the structure of being able to stand. And so what happens is when the leprosy is cured or cleansed, it simply means that there is a stopping of the continuation of the deterioration of the flesh. It doesn't mean you're restored. Now listen to this. These men are walking. Some of them are just barely making it. They're moving, I mean, like zombies and all. But they notice that their skin starts to turn back to its normal color as they continue to walk. They notice that there is a difference in their body and the way that they feel, but it doesn't mean that fingers grew back, that limbs grew back. It doesn't mean that they became whole. It simply means they were cleansed. In other words, Jesus stopped the problem from continuing. But this man, when he saw that he was healed, listen, he might have been the worst one there. But he believed and he showed praise and thanksgiving for the healing that Jesus had given him. When he saw he was healed, how did he see he was healed? Obviously, because the word talks about later him being made whole. So to be made whole had to do with both the spiritual arena and the physical arena. So that meant whatever body parts had fallen off, whatever stuff that was not right, all of that stuff got back right and straight and came back so that he was a whole man healed. See, you can still be a half a man healed. Y'all ain't hearing me. You can still have a situation where the Lord stops the deterioration of that problem, but he doesn't mean that he restores you back to full normal life. Are y'all understanding that? All right. So this man, when he sees he is healed, he doesn't continue any further. He turns around with a loud voice, glorifies God, makes his way back to Jesus, falls at Jesus' feet, and begin to thank him because he knows what has happened in his body, both physically and spiritually. Underneath the skin, something has changed. Now, Jesus, in his priest, prophet, and king role, has the right to do what he's just done. Now, listen to this. After the man comes back and has a praise party at the feet of Jesus, Jesus said, "You got it, even though you're a stranger." Now, can I tell you something? Sometimes the people of God take God for granted. And they become selfish with their praise and their thanksgiving. And folk who are not a part of the kingdom, who get blessed by God, know how to give God more thanks and praise than his own children do. How many times have you helped somebody and they were more grateful than your own family? Can you talk to me in the house? How many times have you helped someone that you were a friend to and they were more ungrateful than someone you helped that didn't even know you? See, this man knew he was not in the lineup for a blessing by birthright, but by faith and being a part of the atmosphere that was going on, he touched into that and supercharged his faith and believed that that was going to happen to him. So now Jesus started asking probing questions. First one is, did not I heal 10? Then He asked, where are the nine? Now, what I want you to notice is the man don't say a word. Listen, can I tell you, when you don't know something, shut up. Don't try and get all spiritual and talk about or think about where you think they are. Here's what I want you also to understand. He was a Samaritan. These others were Jews. They were from different regions, from different cities, from different towns, but their situation brought them together. Amen. Now, when they got cleansed, they went their separate ways. They went to their own hometowns, to their own priests, so that, notice the word said, priest with an S, plural, because it wasn't go show yourself to the priests. So that meant they didn't all go to one place. They were going back to their towns. Then in their towns, they were going to go back to their priests. And he, through the Mosaic law, would pronounce that they are cleansed. So when they left him, they all started going their separate ways. This guy didn't know where they all went. So he didn't say a word. Jesus said there were none that turned back to say, thank you or glorify God. But now verse 19 is the pronouncement. Here's what's so important. And one of the things, again, that you have to understand. If the Mosaic law says that you had to go show yourself to the priest and he had to pronounce you clean before you could enter back into society and back to your former life, then it would almost seem like it was out of order that Jesus told this man in verse 19, arise and go your way. Your faith hath made you whole. It would almost seem like he's breaking the law, right? Because he told him to go show all the rest of them to go show yourselves to the priest, including this man, if that was the case. But here is the thing. When he turned back around, he did go and show himself to the priest, because that was one of Jesus's roles, prophet, priest, and king. And so Jesus, as a priest, pronounces whole, whole. Listen to this. He says, your faith had made you whole. Now, here's also what happened. When the priest would pronounce a person clean, cured, this is what happened. The first thing it was that the priest solidified the confirmation that that person was cured. The priest went through his ritual and went through his rites, and he confirmed that that person was healed. So that was confirmation. Say confirmation. Jesus ain't got no problem with you going to the doctor and getting the confirmation that you're healed when you're healed. Y'all ain't sitting here talking to me. What he does is beyond scrutiny. He can withstand all under a microscope the scrutiny you want to give to it. When he says you're healed, you're healed. And you can let anybody check you out, and that confirmation will be the same. But not only is that confirmation that he's healed, but there's cancellation in the pronouncement. Cancellation of what? Of the death sentence. Cancellation of the limitations that kept them away from society, which meant that they would have restoration and they can go back to their old lifestyles, back to their families, back to their villages, and back to the way that life used to be before leprosy. So that was cancellation. But after that came, guess what else came? Celebration. Celebration. Because they knew then that the process is like graduation. You done worked hard, you done worked long, and that day has come, and they have given you that diploma, they've given you that degree, and it's like, man, thank God, we're going to celebrate good times. Come on. But maybe y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, it was a celebration. This man had a celebration at the feet of Jesus. Jesus had already confirmed he was whole by telling him your faith had made you whole. So he was more than healed and cleansed. And everything that they did that the priest would do, Jesus and this man did right there at the feet of Jesus. And so the pronouncement was, go your way. You ain't got to go show yourself to the priest. It's complete right here. You are made whole now. And my brothers and my sisters, when I tell you the importance of the power of the Word of God, you simply need to obey Him and walk in it. You see, some healings are instantaneously, immediate, right now, faster than quick and quicker than right now and in a hurry. Others take time. It is a process. It is a manifestation in the making. One of the things that you've got to understand is Jesus demonstrated all of those different manifestations of healing in His ministry. And what that says to us is, once He declares you healed, you are healed. By His stripes, you are declared healed. So here is what you need to know. Whether your manifestation comes immediately or not, it has nothing to do with your not being healed. There are some things that God teaches us. There are some things that God does in us, with us, through us, to us, in the process, many times in the manifestation of our healings. Some folk lose faith, and because they don't see it immediately, they say, well, I guess the Lord didn't answer my prayer. I guess the Lord didn't hear me. No, your faith has denied you the privilege of what God said you are. And if you don't activate your faith, hold on to your faith, operate in your faith, speak in your faith, believe in your faith, then you are not going to have manifested what God said you have. See, we put too much on God and not take responsibility for what God has put on us. And many of us will miss our blessings because we're trying to direct how God should do what He does. Bible says, but without faith, Hebrews 11 and 6, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please God. It further goes on to say, and they that come to God must believe that He is. But it doesn't stop there. It says, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hey, brothers and sisters, everything that God said in His word is true and is real. You have got to diligently seek Him for the manifestation and fruition of everything He says. You've got to meditate on His word, Psalm 1. Why is that important? Excuse me. Because it says to you and to God that you believe God enough that you want His word to infiltrate your entire being, your mind, your heart, your soul, your body. You want to meditate upon that word because when you speak His word has power. And when you attach your faith to that power, then you have the promises that He made connected with His word. It builds your faith. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so you begin to operate more in the reading and muttering. When you mutter, which is to meditate, to speak it softly, to say it to yourself, to make it clear, to hear. Well, when you speak it, don't you hear it? When it goes back into your ear, it reinforces your faith. So when you keep saying it, your faith keeps hearing it. And when your faith keeps hearing it, it gets stronger and stronger. And the more you say it, it changes your belief system. And so you start believing what you say. That's why you have what you say, regardless whether it is of faith or not. If you say you're sick, you're sick. You have